Let's turn in the Word of God to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. We come to our third message. And the character of Gideon, the humble judge. And we're coming to think about his conquest. And this chapter outlines the conquest for us. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth off the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came onto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zerath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Taboth. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mount of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. We've read all the chapter. We trust that the Lord will bless it to us as we refer to it and other parts of the book of Judges in our study today. Let's have a word of prayer. Almighty God, we seek thy help in our study of the scriptures. We thank thee for Gideon, this humble judge, used of God in such a mighty way. And as we come to think about his conquest, this great battle that was fought, give us understanding, grant us application to our own hearts and lives, and the work of God today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Remember, the age of the judges was an age of apostasy and rebellion. When Gideon steps into the scene, it was a day of darkness, depravity, decay, and spiritual declension. The people have apostatized from God and departed from his ways. And we noted the reality of their sin in chapter 6 and verse 1, how they sinned against the Lord, did evil in his sight. We noticed the reproving of their sin, for God raised up an army against them, or a people against them, to afflict them and oppress them. And we noticed the result of their sin. In chapter 6 and verse 6, we learn of how Israel was impoverished. God's chastening hand is upon the people. They are passing through affliction, oppression, and want. Why? Because of sin. And the purpose of the Lord in his correction was to bring the people back to himself. And this had such an effect. The very first step to recovery is in verse 6 of chapter 6. The people cried unto the Lord. They are brought to the place of prayer. It took them 7 long years of affliction before they did that, but they're brought to the place where they cried to God. We saw the second step of recovery from verse 8 to 10. God sends a prophet to reprove them of their sin. And then the third step to their recovery was the raising up of this man by the name of Gideon, one of the great judges raised by the Lord. Now, the last time we met and studied Gideon, we examined the first great aspect of importance in his life, and that was his call. And the call of God in his life is from verse 11 of the 6th chapter. We thought about the place identified in verse 11, the person who appeared in verse 12, the perplexity that was felt in verse 12 and 13, the promise that was given in verse 14, the problem that arose in verse 15, the presence guaranteed in 16, and the plea that he makes in verse 17. Just not going into any detail there, but that's what we thought about. Now we come to the second great aspect of his life, and that is the conquest. We have it here in chapter 7. It continues to verse 21 of the 8th chapter. This portion of history in Gideon's life shows him in the battlefield, commanding the army of Israel and rooting out the army of the Midianites. His army reduced from 32,000 to a meager 300 men, attacked the camp of Midian secretly, not to fight initially, but to frighten them. And these 300 men, a little army indeed, put to flight the thousands of Midian and Amalek. And I want us to see today how the Israelites from the various tribes came upon the Midianites and overthrew them with a great destruction, and see the potential for us today in the battles that we have to face and fight in our day and generation. I want you to notice in the first place the preparation for the battle. We didn't read about the preparation because we have it in chapter 6, and so I commend the reading of chapter 6 to you again. But there we have the preparation, and it was of a spiritual kind. Before there can be deliverance of God's people and the Midianites removed, there needs to be spiritual preparation. We would do well to mark this very thought here in Ulster and in the work of God generally. We're looking for recovery in the lives of God's people. Many of God's people are not what they ought to be. Just like it was back here in the days of Gideon, Israel had departed, the people of God had departed, and we find the same today. And we're looking for that recovery in their lives. We're also looking for the defeat of our present-day Midianites, the foes, the enemies that we have to face. And there are many. All these Amalekites that surround us every day. It can only be done through God. And without Him, we will meet with frustration and defeat. And so of necessity, there must be spiritual preparation. Now that begins, first of all, with our communion with God. Quite a proportion of chapter 6 is devoted to Gideon's communion with God. He is in conversation with the God of glory. Gideon hears from God, and Gideon speaks to God. And the man who is going to engage himself in the Lord's battles and fight the good fight of faith must have this kind of preparation. There must be communion with God. It's indispensable. And so therefore, he must be a man, he must be a woman of prayer and Bible reading and Bible study. In God's word, he will find a reservoir of divine promises and comforts and be able to lay hold upon these strengths and plead them with God as he communes with the Lord. Secondly, there is contending for God. And if you look back into chapter 6 and you mark the verses 25 to 32, you will see how he did this, how he contended for the Lord. You see, the sin of idolatry had crept in. It had crept into the nation. But it had crept into the family of Gideon, and particularly here his father. And the sin of idolatry was displeasing to the Lord. That's why Midian was raised up in the first place, to oppress Israel because of their sin. Before Gideon could deliver God's people from the physical enemy, raised of God, permitted by God to afflict Israel, he must deal with this particular sin in his father's house, first of all, the idolatrous worship of Baal. So what does he do? He threw down the altar of Baal and he cut down the grove. And he built an altar to the Lord. A sacrifice had to be offered, signifying the putting away of sin and peace being made with God. And he did it by night through fear. But he did it faithfully. There needed to be a restoration to true worship. Now, there were those who opposed Gideon, stood against him. In fact, they cried out, "Let him die." But his own father, who had been guilty of this sin, he stood up for Gideon. No doubt he was convicted by his own compromise, and he was challenged by his son's courage. Those who are seeking to stand for the Lord will always be opposed. You'll find that. But we must contend for the Lord. We must contend against the sins of today and the great apostasy of today. Before deliverance comes, there must be an obeying of God in this matter. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Touch not the unclean thing. There are many of God's people, sadly, and they are not obeying God in this matter. They are touching the unclean thing. And they have compromised their position as a child of God. Well, we must stand for the Lord. We will not be liked. We will be opposed. We will be spoken against. We will be misrepresented. But if we are going to see the victories that God has intended for his people to accomplish and to have, there must be a contending for God in the truth. Communion with God, contending for God, clothed upon by God. Again, thinking of chapter 6, just mark verse 33 and 34. All the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Ebenezer was gathered unto him. The enemy comes, begins to assemble itself. A great company of them came over Jordan, and they made their headquarters in the valley of Jezreel, which was very close to Gideon's city. But Gideon is further prepared for the battle by receiving this anointing from the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, or clothed Gideon, as the original word means. God clothed him with a robe, or like a robe, and so empowered and quickened him to do the work that he was called to do. Learn this simple truth. Whom God calls for any particular task, God will always equip. And this is what we need today. We need men that are clothed with the Holy Spirit, that are filled with divine power. Oh, beloved, we are not properly fitted for the battle until we are endued with power from on high. Are we filled with the Spirit of God? Do you know anything about it? As we contend for the Lord today, as we do battle against the great enemies of our soul, the enemies of God indeed, do we know what it is to be filled with the Spirit? Not the emotional, not the sensational, not the irrational. You won't find any of that within the covers of this book. What then? Has God taken possession of your life? Are you empowered by the Spirit of God? Are you on fire for God? Are you walking with God in obedience? If I could illustrate that by saying this, sometimes I stay in the home of someone else. Very often the good lady will say, "I'll show you to your room, and I want you to make yourself at home." I open the wardrobe, but it's full of things, and the drawers full of things. Now, it's my room, and I'm to make myself at home, and I am to fill that place, but I couldn't. I was there, all right, but I couldn't fill that room because somebody else had filled most of it. In salvation, the Holy Spirit took possession of my life and your life if you're a child of God. But in the wardrobe, you may have a lot of other things. Sin. In the drawers, things that are displeasing to God. In the cupboard, idols of the world. And the only way that I could fill that room was to take those other things out so that I might put my things there. And the way in which the Spirit of God fills our lives is when we remove all those things that are alien to Him. Some pet sin, some gossipy word, some bitter resentment, some unkind reaction, some unholy thought, some compromise with evil. It's got to go. If I am to be clothed upon with the mighty power of God, and He's coming to take residence in my whole being. Gideon was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then quickly there is the calling for God. Gideon sounded a trumpet. It was a call to his neighbors to join him. And the men of Abiezer, who had been against him when he threw down the altar of Baal, and now convinced of their error, they come to his assistance, because God can change hearts, even idolaters, even persecutors, because these men were idolaters and they had persecuted Gideon, but God changed them. And there was this great call. And the Lord can bring reform to the hearts and the lives of people around us, and we must keep blowing the trumpet. We must keep calling them to separate themselves unto God from the great sins of this world and from the great apostasy of today, and say to them, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. We come to chapter 7 and verse 12. And I want you to notice here the description of the enemy. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. You could well begin to imagine why preparation needed to be made, why the Holy Spirit needed to come mightily upon the servant of God, when you think of how the enemy is described here. There was now a scene before Gideon that, in human terms, was discouraging. A sight terrifying enough to frighten the bravest of men. In the moonlight, spread across the great valley of Jezreel, there was this vast number of the enemy. Soldiers, like grasshoppers for multitude. An innumerable number of camels that no one could count more than the sand. You know, the enemies of this country, or should I say the enemies of God, who wish to destroy the heritage that we enjoy, the gospel heritage in this nation, they are numerous. All around us, we are set upon by the Midianites, the modern-day Midianites. No matter where we look, they're all around. And we may feel dismayed, at times overcome, outnumbered, even fearful. But sometimes we miss the reality that matters. There is a God above, over all, sovereign, omnipotent, and all-powerful. And many have lost sight of this truth. They quake at the sight of the magnitude of the enemy. All around us we are beset by foes like grasshoppers for multitude, who seem to possess machinery without number as the sand by the seaside. Well, they may be numerous, they may be threatening, they may make us fearful, but never forget, though like grasshoppers for multitude, they're only grasshoppers in the sight of Almighty God. That's all they are. See all those Midianites out there, the great enemy that surrounds us? They're just grasshoppers. Martin Luther, in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he wrote, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. And even though the description of the enemy may be very great and the enemy's numerous, let's remember there's a God in heaven. I want you to think about what we read in the opening 8 verses of the chapter 7. I needn't read them to you again, but we have the selection of the army. Gideon gets ready for the battle with eagerness. He gets up early in the morning as one whose heart is upon the business before him and who is afraid of losing time. He pitches near a famous well so that there would be a plenty of supply of water. He takes position on higher ground, giving him a little bit of an advantage in the battle because the Midianites were down below there in the valley of Jezreel. He is ready to do the will of God. He's ready to fight the Lord's battles. His army consisted of 32,000 men, a small army in comparison of what he could have mustered in the nation at this time, and a very small army in comparison to the multitudes of the Midianites. We read that there were 135,000 Midianite soldiers. And so the odds here are 4-1. Would you like to face an army 4 times greater? Doesn't the Savior speak in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 about a king going out to battle with 10,000 facing an army of 20,000? He sits down first of all. He counts the cost. Am I able? Am I able with my army of 10,000, half the number of the coming army of 20,000, to win the battle? Well, here is an army that Gideon is going to face, and it's 4 times the amount. However, the faith of Gideon is going to be tested, and tested remarkably, because God is going to reduce this army to a meager few in comparison to what Midian had. It has been said, a faith which cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God tests our faith. He does this mainly for 2 reasons. First, to reveal to us whether our faith is real or fake. He does it, secondly, to strengthen our faith for the task that he has appointed us to. Gideon was looking for men who could fight. God was looking for men of faith. Gideon, humanly speaking, was probably thinking, my army is too small. But God comes and he tells him, your army is too big. The Lord is going to get the glory in this. No man would be able to boast, mine own hand has saved me. A word that should never, ever leave the lips of God's people. For he that glorieth must glory in the Lord. God is going to teach these people the lesson repeated to Zechariah in his day, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Gideon has an army of 32,000, but God says, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into thine hand. And so the numbers were reduced to 10,000 when the fearful and the trembling returned home. You see, fear spreads like wildfire. And God cannot work where fear crowds out faith. And thus 22,000 are turned back. They saw the presence of the enemy more than the promises of God. Someone has said, if you want to be discouraged, look within. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be delivered, look above. God says the people are yet too many. And so a further step must be taken to reduce the number still more. And we read about it from verse 5 to verse 7 of the chapter. Gideon's little army was not to be marked by great numbers, but by great faith. Thus God had him reduce the army just to a few so that the victory could in no wise be attributed to themselves. These 300 stooped lower to lap, and they lap like dogs. And the picture here, among other things, speaks about lowliness. How they took a drink of water showed the kind of a man that can humble himself and stoop lower and take the place, as it were, of a dog. That's the kind of a man that God can use in the battle. Doesn't Peter counsel us be clothed with humility? For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. God will not use a proud man who thinks much of himself and continually promotes himself and pushes himself forward. No, it's the humble man. He hath respect unto the lowly. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 138, verse 6, but the proud he knoweth afar off. And here's what the Lord says in the prophecy of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, walk humbly with thy God. Learn to stoop. Learn to stoop. Then you can be used by God. It's not only a picture of lowliness, but the picture also presents watchfulness, because these men are alert. Their mind was on the battle more than on their own comfort. A hand-to-mouth life may mean hardship for the flesh, but it will make a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Gideon began with 32,000. He ends up with 300. When he started, the odds were 4-1, and now the odds are 100-1. God was going to get the glory. Being reduced to 300, it left him little choice. He must either fight by faith or not at all. Thus Gideon was brought face to face with the fact that the battle was the Lord's, not Israel's. Though there were only 300 left, they had all heaven behind them. And that's the way to fight. One with God is a majority. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Something that we must learn and relearn again. Notice quickly the revelation from God. It comes first of all by word. In chapter 7, verse 9 through to verse 11. There's a word that is given, a word from God. And a word from God is a good foundation to build faith upon. It's a word of command, arise, go down. It's a word of promise. He's assured of success. When we have the word of God in our hearts, we'll be able to go forward with confidence to the battle. Not only was this revelation by word, but secondly, it came by a dream. You read about the dream from verse 13 to 15. Gideon overhears two soldiers of the enemy talking. One of them relates a dream that he had, a dream about a barley cake rolling down the hill into the camp of the Midianites with such force that it overturned the tent and broke the stakes and the cords and buried its inhabitants. His fellow soldier gave the interpretation of what this dream means. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his host. And this was an object lesson to Gideon and brought him great encouragement. It was a sign to him. Oh, wasn't this the man we thought about last time who was looking for the sign in the weakness of his own flesh? Lord, show me a sign. And God is dealing with him in mercy again. He gives him another sign concerning this battle. And he does it this way. And then we come to verse 16 onwards of chapter 7, where we have the destruction of Midian. Gideon divided his army into three battalions. He commanded them to do as he did. Now remember, there was not one sword among Gideon and his men. They are armed with nothing but a torch hidden in a clay pitcher in one hand and a trumpet in the other. These certainly were strange instruments of war. But remember, God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The strategy was very simple. Gideon divided his men into three groups of 100 each. They encircled as much of the enemy's camp as possible at the beginning of the middle watch. The first watch was from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The second watch was from 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. And the third watch, or the middle watch, was from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. The middle watch had just taken over. The camp was quiet. The new guards were still unused to the darkness when Gideon struck. Gideon descends in the dead of night when least expected. And he struck fear into the hearts of the enemy. And he did this in three ways. With a great noise, every man must blow his trumpet and clatter his earthen pitcher to pieces. With a great blaze, the lighted torches were held in the pitchers until they came to the camp, then taken out suddenly, making a glaring light. And then with a great shout that you read of in the last part of verse 20, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Was there ever such a weak army? Was there ever such soldiers with such strange weapons? Every man had a trumpet in one hand, a pitcher and a torch in the other. But God was in it. Gideon gave the signal. Each man broke his pitcher, blew his trumpet and shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Finding themselves surrounded by sudden lights and noises, the Midianites assumed that a great army was attacking them, and the result was panic. The Lord put a spirit of confusion into the camp, and the Midianites began to turn on one another. In verse 21, they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. So there's a great terror now instilled into the hearts of these men as they run and cry and flee. And in the confusion, they began to kill each other. Verse 22, the 300 men blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They fled for their lives, and Israel pursued. And God that day gave a great victory, and God did it. From start to finish, God did it. The Lord will give great victories as He has promised. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do you see the host of Midian that surrounds us today? Do you see the enemy that is encamped all around like grasshoppers for multitude? God can use the few. God can give the victory. And how true it is today, none can tell what God might do when we put our faith in Him. May we learn from Gideon and this great battle, this conquest. May we learn afresh that one with God is a majority. And as we go forward, just a small few people, as far as the population of this country is concerned, or even bringing it down to this town is concerned, God can give us the victory again and again and again in His great work. So we look to Him. May God bless His word. Let us pray.